And the Emmy goes to...
The Rich Eisen Show.
No jinx!
This manifesting thing stuff, it's starting to really work.
I've been nominated for Best Studio Host.
Yeah, you have!
Man, I'm a believer now, Chris. You think things and you put them out in the universe, and they happen, man.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles, today's guest, Fox Sports NFL analyst Michael Vick, 14-year NBA veteran Muggsy Bogues, Alabama football head coach Nick Saban, comedian Gabriel Iglesias, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. We are here in Los Angeles, California. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Here on NBC Sports on Peacock. And for everybody who's listening to us on Sirius XM Channel 85, The Rich Eisen Show on the terrestrial radio network built around it, or listening to us on Odyssey, I am wearing a slamming blue sweater that matches the color scheme of this program. And I'm celebrating a championship in that regard as well.
Are you going to rip it off and throw it into the crowd?
No, I might.
Are you going to cry after the show's over and run out of the studio?
I might, guys, because I'm an emotional man.
All right.
I'm an emotional man.
Are you going to talk trash on ESPN?
No. By the way, I'm explaining to the podcast listenership as well. Just the way I'm rolling into this three-hour program that has not only Michael Vick coming off of his workout with Colin Kaepernick, getting ready to run the 40-yard dash for Run Rich Run for a second straight year and try and best his time of 4.7 and change that he ran last year, or 4.8 and change that he ran last year.
Under.
We only have Muggsy Bogues on this program. He's got a new book going, and I can't wait to ask him about his career, Space Jam, and Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Especially Curb.
And then that leads into Nick Saban, and then leads into Gabriel Iglesias coming in studio, hour number three. Sweet. The very funny Gabriel Iglesias, who's sold out Dodger Stadium not once but twice for his upcoming appearance here in Los Angeles. Part of his comedy tour going around the country, making people happy. The NFL draft is 3 weeks from 2 weeks from tomorrow. That's it. We're right around the corner. Can't wait to talk a little bit more about that. Derek Carr's been paid. Can't wait to talk about that with you folks. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Chris Brockman and Jay Felly are in their positions as DJ Mikey D is not here. DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. Speaking of which, Nick Saban in hour number two of this program. Good. I don't think I'm going to ask him about that. Might turn down.
We have to.
Oh, you want me to make a Bofa joke to him?
Oh, Rich, come on. That's mandatory,
please,
man.
Please do.
Mandatory.
That's mandatory. Okay. You've lit the candle, though. That's
the candle's
sure,
lit
TJ
in honor
Jefferson.
Of you asking Coach Saban a D's Nuts joke.
Yo, let's DJ, go. Real quick, speaking of D's, so we're playing golf on Monday, right?
Okay.
And we're driving out, was it the 10th hole, 8th hole? We're driving out to one of the holes.
I don't know where you're going with this.
Because we got there late, and... Rick D's, the DJ, walked by, and Rich just goes, there's Rick D's Nuts. I'm like, wait, what?
That's true. He wasn't looking. I almost hit him with the card.
He wasn't looking at us, and he was just like, he gave us one of those, like, oh, and then got out of the way.
I'm like, that's DJ and Rick D's, like, as in D's Nuts.
I was like, what?
That's amazing.
That actually happened.
I love that. Did he hear you?
True story. He did not hear
okay.
us.
Okay. We were long gone. All right, let's start with this. Let me start with this. I'm going to say this to America.
Oh, jeez.
You know how to say it, right?
I'm going to say this to America and anybody around the world who listens.
With your chest.
I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. Everybody back off the Timberwolves. Back off the Minnesota Timberwolves. Back off them. Back off of them. Okay? Everybody making fun of them.
Well, I mean,
everybody having their fun with him, with their crying, laughing emojis from LeBron James from his couch,
true that.
Wherever he was.
True.
Didn't even make the play-in tournament.
Can't say nothing.
All right. Everybody making fun of the Timberwolves, Patrick Beverley, for crying because he beat the Clippers.
Tried to explain that to you yesterday.
You sure did. And I said, you know what? His intensity is great until it counts against you. And last night, his intensity did not count for anything but a W.
DNA is all over both of those
teams. A W. Hugging Anthony Edwards, who's in the playoffs for the first time of his playing career.
We love that guy, man.
We do love Anthony.
Okay. Karl-Anthony Towns had a horrible night. Doesn't matter because D'Angelo Russell picked him up. That guy can play in big time moments.
D'Lo, he came through yesterday.
Okay, everybody, back off Minnesota. Make the playoffs now for the first time since 2018, but only the second time since 2004. And don't forget the last time they made the playoffs. Last time they made the playoffs, 2018, that was the Jimmy Butler led thing. And then months later, he's wreaking so much havoc in practice. They sent him out the door.
Out.
He called up Rachel Nichols and said, "Let's talk."
Hey, now.
Hey, we know where that went.
Oh, stop. Listen.
I'm telling everybody this.
Back off of Minnesota. Who cares? It's a play-in tournament game in which stats, I don't know where they go. Where do the stats go in a play-in tournament? Because it's not regular season and it's not playoffs.
Black hole.
Where do the stats go?
Where do the stats go?
Where do they go?
Nowhere.
Are they special play-in tournament stats?
I don't even know if that's a thing.
It's like the NBA Phantom Zone where a Jason Tatum 50-point game resides. It doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
You know what I mean? Like, bottom line, though, is it's Timberwolves versus Memphis, and that's going to be a dynamite, youthful, exuberant first-round series that the Timberwolves are excited to be in.
Yeah, that's low-key going to be a good one.
What skin is it off your nose that they treat a play-in tournament championship like it's a championship?
I mean, I personally took umbrage, but that's just me.
I just said the words play-in tournament championship because they're the champions of the seventh seed of the 2021-2022 NBA season.
I don't know. Do you prescribe to act like you've been there before?
But they haven't. Who's been there before? Carl Anthony Towns was there before, and then he got so beasted by his own teammate in practice that they had to send that guy out the door.
I know, but to paraphrase Sidney Poitier, it's acting.
Guess what?
Act like you've been there before.
Back off the Minnesota Timberwolves. Back off them. Okay? They treat a play-in, like, and by the way, do you know what the NBA must be psyched about this? They treat the play-in tournament like it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. That legitimizes the play-in tournament. And the people who are kind of slagging on them right now, they're doing damage to the play-in tournament.
Yeah, Kyle Kuzma, they showed his tweet.
Yeah,
on,
he's just like, they just won the chip.
Yeah.
And the NBA, by the way, inside the NBA had their fun. Oh, my. Even Ernie got in on it.
I know. Chuck was like, are we going to do a one shining moment for them right now?
What did sweet Ernie Johnson say? Let me get this exactly right, because I had it, Eric. At one point, he said that was the quickest postseason ever, Ernie said.
A one-game postseason? Yeah,
no, saying that they celebrated like it was a championship. Yeah. That was the postseason. That's it.
It's over.
They're out here kissing babies, says Chuck. We just need Coach to take his shirt off now, says Kenny Smith. They made fun of some guy in his street clothes running after Patrick Beverly.
Yeah,
like
that was kind of funny.
Okay, they made fun of him.
That was
funny. This is the play-in, not the playoffs. Who's the dude running behind him, said Chuck and Kenny, respectively.
Yeah, I mean, my man was trailing Pat Bev like
so
they won
what?
The chip.
What? People excited about their accomplishments. What are we going to cut him down for?
Yeah, I'm not. I got no problem with it.
Other than they beat your team.
Other than that.
So what? So you got a chance to have now
one more
game against
yeah.
whoever wins tonight.
Yeah.
But between the Spurs and the Zionless Pelicans.
Look, they did it to get their fans hyped up. And it might seem corny.
They were very hyped.
But you know what? If you're a Timberwolf fan and you were in the building last night, that was.
They don't care.
A-Rod was hype.
Yeah.
Oh, Mark Lurie.
Well,
that,
come on. Now you had him, Chris, and now you just lost him. How about Mark Lurie was hype?
Mark Lurie was getting ready to
take his shoes on the run.
Yeah.
I wonder if they took their shoes off last night, though.
My guy is now. That's his first dub to get into playoffs, man. Yeah, go, Minnesota. And one last thing.
Let him live.
Speaking on behalf of celebrating something that means something to you and maybe not everybody else. As the winner of the Rich Eisen Show Fantasy Basketball League for the NBA.
You had me, and now you're about to lose me.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
I was into this.
Cut off my ears.
You say, like, act like you've been there before, but I haven't beaten you guys in an NBA Fantasy League. Yeah, and you're sending me all these thank yous, but putting my head on Frank Vogel's head, and I now look like Davis Mills on top of Mike Glennon.
You got that Kurt Angle neck in that picture.
How have we not fixed that neck?
I don't know. Me actually complaining about it, I think, leads to that not getting fixed. You go Minnesota. That's it.
Oh, I think that's all of us.
No, Rich's mic cut out. That's how that rant was going.
I don't know. All right, I'm back.
Everybody. Oh, yeah, you're back. Did you kick something over there?
No, I think Charles Barkley did.
He gave me a heart attack.
I'm sorry. I don't know. Kick something.
I mean, look, Rich is over there spitting. He's spitting so much hot fire that stuff's melting.
I mean, he's got a bad back, Jay Felly. He can't deal with a heart attack.
He can't run.
How about this? And now Nets Celtics. This is what we want. Yeah. Last night was great.
I don't know if that's what Chris Brodmann wanted. I don't think he wanted any parts of this.
Say this too.
Celtics in four.
Brother, you're going to have to go through either the Nets or the Bucks or the Sixers at some point. Why not now?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get a round one out of under your belt.
Let's run through all of them.
I'm not part of those. Well, I'd rather somebody else take them out so you don't have to face them. Hey, come on.
Yeah.
If you're good enough to win the East, you should beat the Nets. And I want to see Kyrie in that building. And I'm going to. I can't wait.
Sunday.
What, Bruce Brown is calling out the Celtics for not having Time Lord or something like that now because he's hurt and Durant's like, let's not talk this stuff. And
yeah, Durant knows. Calm yourself down, Bruce Brown, whoever you are.
Yeah, don't make it tougher.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Don't make it harder.
I don't know, last time they played, Tatum dropped 50. So
now the Cavs will host the winner of Hawks and Hornets tonight. Okay.
Take the over.
So Hawks Hornets tonight. Now, if the Hawks celebrate like the Timberwolves celebrate,
they
tonight,
won't though.
Now you got it. Now we can talk. Okay, or the Hornets celebrate that we won a play-in tournament game for the right to play into the playoffs. So the fact
the
that again the 8-9-10 winner game is technically a playoff game, right? Technically, winner in, loser goes home.
Technically, yeah.
Okay, last night was winner in, loser goes home to host a play-in game.
But the 7 seed is decided.
Correct.
Right.
What I'm saying, winner goes in, loser goes home to host another game.
Right.
It took me a while to figure that out.
The next games are going to be winner in, loser goes home. But those stats don't count in anything, right? They don't count because they're not on playoff game stats, and they're not regular season stats. It's not a regular season. It's a play-in tournament game. NBA's got to do something about that. These stats go nowhere. Where do they go?
Where do the stats go?
Where do they go? Where are the stats? What's in the stats? Where do the stats go? The Phantom Zone. But the Nets and the Celtics, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You got to say it like Vern, though.
Yes, sir. Yes, yes, yes. Durant, Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kyrie, let's go.
Yeah, big stars, a lot of history, a lot of drama. Go. You know, it's everything let's that you'd go. Want, especially I want in a first-round series.
I want 7. I'd like 7.
I'd like 4. I'd like 4. I'd like it to be over quick.
You're not getting 4.
They're just not. They're not as. They're not as good a team as the Celtics, so we'll see what happens.
They're not getting 4.
5. Gentlemen sweep?
You're getting 6. All right. 6 or 7. At least I want 7. I want a game 7. And I want that in the garden. And I want Kyrie showing up, smudging the place. And I want him doing all sorts of Kyrie crazy things just to piss you and the rest of the Celtics fandom off. I can't wait. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
Let's go.
Can't wait. Like it. Like it a lot. And then I want the Nets to get to the finals just so I could say I was right on.
No. See,
okay.
That's where he's going with this.
Okay. Now you went too far.
Exactly. You know what? I'm inspired by the Timberwolves. I'm inspired by their reaction.
You should be.
I am not turned off by it. I'm not looking askance at it. I'm not frowning. I'm not looking down my nose at them. I'm saying yes. Yes. Let your freak flag fly.
Let your freak flag fly.
So what was Michael Vick doing yesterday? He was working out with Cap and Ocho.
I saw this photo on I think BR Gridiron posted it. It was from Chad's Twitter.
Ocho Cinco.
Yeah, he was working out with Kaepernick and Chad.
Okay.
And Chad was doing that thing that I do in photos when I'm with taller other tall people. I kind of get on my toes to add like 2 inches.
Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah. I mean, it works.
We see through that, by the way. We see through it. We see it.
Brockman was so happy when he pointed this out to me yesterday. Okay. He's like,
and then Ryan Leaf immediately posted a photo of me and him playing golf like 2 years ago. Okay. And I'm doing it to him.
And you're not even close to as tall
I'm
as
not
him.
Even close. He's like 6'6".
Okay. So Vic's going to join us. Derek Carr's been paid 3 years. $40 million per $120 million. That's what Lamar could have maybe twice over. He can have that twice. If he wants, he could sign, what, 6 years, $40 million per right now? Could the Ravens do that?
Yeah, I think they would do that.
Okay.
I think the Ravens and, would probably think that's a deal.
And he's saying right now, I'll get to it whenever I can. It's truly one of the most remarkable things out there, and I can't wait to talk to Vic about all of this stuff. And he's kind enough to come on to also kick off our Run Rich Run campaign, at least from here, from this seat. My friends at NFL Network have been kind enough to be running commercials like crazy, all in support of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, NFL.com/RunRichRun, for you to give your couple of cents. But I'm getting together with a whole host of NFL legends and also entrepreneurs led by Mark Lurie, who's Minnesota Timberwolves, rightfully celebrated getting the 7th seed last night. And we're going to do it at the Rose Bowl.
That is awesome.
And that's going to be played during the NFL draft's third day. So we'll be talking about that with Michael Vick, and we got Muggsy Bogues, and we've got Nick Saban and Gabriel Iglesias. That's why I love doing this show, folks. Love doing this show when we've got guests from all across the landscape. Before we take a break, though, Callaway Rogue ST Driver want to tell you about this stick that's built to completely bomb it. All different types of golf equipment companies tell you that they claim to be longest off the tee. But Callaway's new Rogue ST Driver is truly the only one built to completely bomb it because it's been speed-tuned, that's the ST, to be Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. Every Rogue ST is engineered with a new tungsten speed cartridge. That gives you more speed on off-center hits, provides more forgiveness thanks to high MOI. But that's just the beginning. Callaway's engineered a Rogue ST for every player. You want incredible combination of distance and forgiveness? The speed-tuned Callaway Rogue ST Max is there for you. But there's the Max D. It's a dedicated draw model. If you want more shot shape correction, you want something more low spin, stronger trajectory, more neutral ball flight, the Max LS. If you're a true player and you want to play with something that the tour players love, the Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS is the one for you. Callaway's thought through every aspect of speed, so all you've got to do is go rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver at callawaygolf.com/go-rogue. We're going to go to Michael Vick when we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show, fresh off of a workout with Colin Kaepernick. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
844-204-RICH, number to dial back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Can I put pressure in quotes?
No, because you're, it doesn't, I again, quarterbacks feeling pressure, right? Who feels pressure? Right? Which quarterback feels pressure? Pressure is a media term. We use it.
Right.
Because maybe we use it to try and validate our words and what we feel our worth is, because if we're talking about it, we're placing pressure on that quarterback.
Yeah.
And I don't think Aaron Rodgers feels an ounce of pressure. And if he does, it's self-implied or it's self-placed. And I don't think he feels it because of what I say or what anybody else says.
So and Derek Carr, and Aaron Rodgers.
And even if you think that he is not performed in the playoffs.
Tua.
And so successfully enough, I don't believe he's sitting there at home saying, man, I'm going to have pressure this year because Devontae left and MVS is gone. And
he should. All right, can we ask a real quarterback?
Let's do that. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, kind enough to call into this program as he is kind enough to once again be part of the Run Rich Run campaign to raise money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. The fastest man in that competition last year on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is none other than Michael Vick. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing great, Rich. How about yourself?
Hanging in there. I don't know if you just overheard that conversation.
Yeah, I did.
About pressure in quarterbacks. What are your thoughts on the talk of quarterbacks under pressure, Michael Vick?
Rich, before I touch on that, you said the fastest man in the competition. I said I'm supposed to be the fastest man. I mean, we had Ray Lewis, Chris Cox, Terrell Davis, all those guys. They all over 45. So I'm.
Yeah, you needed
to appreciate that, Rich.
Yeah, you needed to be the fastest guy with these guys all over the age of 45. But you still lit it up though, Michael.
Absolutely.
There's no question. About
I'm gonna try to light it up again to the best of my abilities, and I look forward to being the fastest man.
I appreciate that. I absolutely appreciate that. And we'll revisit that in a second. But what is your sense on the conversation of quarterbacks under pressure, and when they don't perform and come home with a ring or anything like that, Michael? What are your two cents on that subject matter?
I mean, pressure is real. And every quarterback, when you wake up on the morning of a game, you add so much pressure to, what's already been created. And we just do that mentally. And if it's just winning the game that day, or if it's winning the playoff game or winning a Super Bowl, we all feel that pressure and add that extra pressure to ourselves, and it just doesn't go anywhere. Like it's a mental thing, and it makes some of us better, I tell you that. But I don't know what I got without determining.
Why don't you pop in there and call him back, would you please? Hey, Michael, we're going to call you right back. Your phone's cutting in and out, so if you don't mind.
Call me right back.
We'll call you right back. That's Michael Vick right here. All right. Pressure makes diamonds.
And pressure busts pipes.
Nothing gets me more disappointed than Chris Brockman saying something, me disagreeing with him, and a guest comes on.
I didn't even have to look at him. So I could feel him smile. When Mike said that, I didn't have to look that direction.
Now you know what it would have been like if he had won the NBA Fantasy League.
No, Rich, here's the deal. We're now 3 days into the fantasy season being over, and you're still talking about it. I didn't bring up the fact that Michael Vick just confirmed everything I said minutes ago. You did.
3 business days, by the way. That's all it's been.
That's enough time. By the way, that's well within the rights to gloat. Yeah. I'm just saying. But
I'm the Minnesota Timberwolves of fantasy.
Well, no, because you actually won a chip. You understand?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
So should I add, my fourth quarterback, right? Do you want Tua or Dak, or you want to go Patrick Mahomes? I'm going Derek Carr, just got paid.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers, underachiever. Russell Wilson, new home. Who else? Who's the fourth?
Under the most pressure?
Yeah.
Then put Aaron Rodgers there.
No, I do have Aaron Rodgers.
So what do you got?
I got Derek Carr.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson.
Right.
A lot of pressure because Broncos fans are pissed. And the fourth spot, do I go Dak? Yes. Do I go Tua?
No, you don't go Dak.
Yes, you go Dak.
What pressure? No. How can you say Dak's under more pressure than Patrick Mahomes? Dak was a fourth-round quarterback. And apparently, according to everyone on the internet, Cowboys suck.
Dak's now been paid.
Yeah, that was like 3 years ago.
Michael Gallup got paid, and his knee's been out.
Okay. No, this is Patrick Mahomes. Lost Cheetah. He's Brockman already had him on his Mount Rushmore.
Michael Vick's back.
Let's ask Mike Vick.
Are you there, Michael?
Let him make the decision.
Okay, there you are.
This is a great discussion. I tell you that. It's a great discussion.
So hop in. What do you think? What do you think?
Well, it's a lot of quarterbacks that, just pertaining to what you just said about Dak, Dak's not under pressure. Every quarterback is under pressure. All 32 quarterbacks are under pressure to perform at a high level, to get into the playoffs, and have a chance to compete for the Super Bowl. And whether you're first round fourth round, seventh round, and you get into that spot, you get into that position, you got to go, because there's always somebody behind you, you know, or they, the organization could always be looking to replace you. So it's pressure everywhere, and the pressure to perform is real. So all those guys, Aaron Rodgers, you know, whoever, Tom Brady, everybody's under pressure, and they know it, and they'll tell you. And I don't know what type of quarterback I would have been if I didn't have pressure on me. It's good. It's a great thing.
So then pressure is self-imposed, or do you actually hear what we in the media talk about, Michael? Does that happen?
It's self-imposed because, you know, when we wake up on Sunday, Mondays, and Thursdays, we add pressure to ourselves to perform. And then we pay attention to sometimes to what the media is saying, and that's added pressure. And our coaches put pressure on us, and sometimes your teammates will put pressure on you, and then that's the self, it's the self-imposed pressure. And so it comes from everywhere, and that's why this is such an elite level. When you play in the National Football League, when you play on that level, there's so much expectation. Sometimes it's hard to even have fun. But, you know, it is what it is, and I don't want to say that to discourage, you know, any young listener. You know, it's a great thing, man. I don't know what I would have been if I didn't feel all that pressure around me and be able to compartmentalize everything and pull it all together and make good plays and trust what I did in practice and let it all come together. So, man, a professional sports in general, it's pressure packed. You know, it's always going to be pressure centered around it, but that's why we play the game, Rich.
So where would you land then as we're putting together a list of quarterbacks under the most pressure coming into the season now that Derek Carr's been paid 3 years, $120 million? Then we threw Aaron Rodgers now on the list. One of the more surprising stories is that he re-signs, but Davante Adams goes, and so does Valdez-Scantling. Who else you put on that list, Chris?
Russell Wilson, new home, a lot of pressure, and we put Dak.
Yeah, Russell, Dak. Dak, a lot of pressure.
How about Dak versus Mahomes? That's the one where we're down to. Which one would you put on this list? We only can have four. What do you got for me on that?
I would say Dak over Patrick, because the Dallas Cowboys fans, you know what they're yearning for. They want that championship. They want the ring against America's team, and you know, they love Dak and they believe in him, and I believe in him. I certainly think he can get it done. I just think, you know, he just pull a couple more tricks out the bag. And you know, I think being a year or 2 years removed from the injury, you know, of course I expected Dak to come back last year and not, you know, really be 100% confident in taking hits and, you know, scrambling and, you know, just being an ultimate dual threat. I think that'll come this year. And I definitely want to see a little bit more of that out of Dak, and he's more than capable of doing it. I think it'll take his game to the next level, you know, just like a lot of these other young quarterbacks. And, you know, then there's Russell and, you know, you know, all these guys who got championship pedigrees and have been there, they want that. They want to get there. So they know what they got, they're getting themselves into when they sign a big contracts and changing teams. You know, they appreciate this journey. I can promise you that.
Michael Vick here on the Rich Eisen Show, four-time Pro Bowler with Fox Sports, going to be with me out at the Rose Bowl in a couple weeks to do Run, Rich, Run, which will be played and shown on the third day of NFL draft coverage on NFL Network right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We saw on Ocho Cinco's Twitter account, Michael, that you and he and Colin Kaepernick were together on a football field yesterday. What was that all about? What happened?
Yeah, a lot of guys come out on Tuesdays out here, you know, in South Florida. We go to different locations, and we train, we work out. And, you know, Cap was in town. We're getting a workout in. And, you know, thank God we had a lot of receivers and a lot of quarterbacks. You know, so we was all just able to just get together, man, and just, you know, have a little fellowship, you know, really take, you know, 2 hours of our day and invest it in football and getting better and talking football and, you know, just catching up too. You know, Colin and I had, you know, good conversations, and we talked about, you know, just, you know, past, present, future, and what they look like. And, you know, also, you know, he talked to a lot of guys out there. You know, we just had a good time, man, and I wish we could do that more often. But, you know, he certainly looked like he's ready to play. Arm is in tip-top shape, super strong, and, you know, got his head on his shoulders. You know, really want to get another shot at it. So if he keep working hard, it'll come.
So what can you share about the present and future for Kaepernick that you heard yesterday and that you might be able to bring here, from his mindset to what he's looking for, what he wants, what he might be, whose radar screen he might be on? What do you have? Anything?
Well, we didn't really go into detail. It was more so about, you know, when you get that opportunity, you know, what is it going to be like? Like, are you going to appreciate it? You know, he's definitely going to appreciate it. It's something that he certainly wanted to do, and that's what I took away from the conversation. Is football something that you really want? When I asked him that question, he just had a lot of enthusiasm, absolutely. And he worked hard like it. You know, he went for 3 hours just throwing and lining guys up and just going through a routine, and that was really cool to see. You know, as the quarterback who played the game at a high level and watching the guy who, you know, played at a high level and played in the Super Bowl and still, you know, been out of the game for 5 years, Rich, and still pushing at it and wanting another crack at it. You know, and obviously I just threw some coaches' names out there that, you know, if his representation can reach out to, they probably, you know, would love to talk. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm not going to be the guy in that room who's going to be asking questions. And, you know, I don't know what that interview process would look like or what it would be like. I just told him, you know, you get that next opportunity, man, just enjoy it. You know, enjoy the game and enjoy playing it.
Well, I mean, you also know what it takes to play this game at a high level. Does he have it? Does he 5 years out? Does you see the?
I tell you one thing. I mean, 5 years out. That's my only concern. I did say that to him too. Like, man, 5 years is a long time. But you know, he takes care of his body. You know, you talk about some of the things that, you know, that he put into his body. You know, he not a guy that's out all the time. You know, don't drink, don't smoke. You know, so he's just, you know, in tip-top shape, and you can see it. I mean, Rich, the workout was 3 hours. I tapped out after an hour. I started coaching. Mm-hmm. You know, I started coaching the young high school guys and some of the guys that was in college. And, you know, I love to be able to give them input and watch them improve on the spot. And even, you know, throwing a couple tips to Cap, you know, but his, you know, we was just out there, man, just competing at a high level, man, and just trying to get better as quarterbacks. You know, I have nothing to prove in that game, but there was a lot of young kids out there who, you know, I look at it as the next generation of football, of sports, and just want to certainly be accountable and accessible for them.
Who else was out there? Who else do you have?
Jarvis Landry was out there. Brandon Marshall was out. Ocho. Who else? Kareem Hunt. He was out. You know, so it was a good group of guys. We had running backs, receivers, you know, and Njoku was there. He came out. So, yeah, man, it was a good group. It was fun to watch those guys work. And, you know, the one thing I wish I would have did more, Rich, was train the way they trained. Got away from my element, went somewhere and trained. Guys go to Arizona, some guys come to South Florida. But you put that time, man, you invest in your body, and you'll get the results, you know, as you work hard and you put in that time. And I just think as you get older in the game, you have to do that. You have to invest in your body. And now I'm doing Pilates and, you know, doing yoga with my wife. And, man, if I just did this when I was playing. And I obviously, honestly, Rich, I'm doing a lot of that for you. And to run next week.
Yeah.
Well, you said last year.
I don't want to pull my hamstring the way I did last year.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
And, obviously, but I'm super competitive, Rich, and you know I want to beat that time. Like, I want to beat that time.
I love
being
it.
Being honest.
I love it. So
I'm talking to the people.
Did you ever play in the Rose Bowl? Have you ever been to the Rose Bowl?
I never played in the Rose Bowl, but it's super legendary. To me. I watched a bunch of games growing up.
Okay. Well, you're going
in the Rose Bowl.
You will be running in the Rose Bowl. That's where we're doing it this year. We're going to do it.
We're on grass.
We're on grass. We are on grass. Yes, sir.
All right.
How does that affect things?
I got to pay attention to the terrain, get a nice dynamic warm up in.
You can eat off.
Change my shoes if I need to, and then be off, Rich.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we're going to run it back literally, figuratively, and then I can't thank you enough for doing that. That's going to be, again, on the final day of the draft. Before I let you go, are you in touch with Lamar? Have you been chatting with Lamar Jackson at all?
You know, it's so funny that me and one of my guys was talking about Lamar this morning. And I haven't spoke to Lamar. I haven't spoke to Lamar in a couple of months. So I was just telling him I was going to reach out to him because I wanted to talk to him about some stuff. So, and I'm glad you mentioned that because I probably would have went throughout the rest of my day and got busy and forgot about it. But I haven't been in touch with him. I don't think Lamar liked the way last season ended. I think he's ready to get to it 2022 and try to make it a big year.
Well, he's game changing. We all know that. And he's unique. We all know that. And he is standing out in a way that I've never seen in my 20 years of being an NFL guy, Michael Vick, and that he appears to be the one leaving the bag on the table. You know, normally the quarterbacks pound a table for the bag of money, and the Ravens seem to be ready to give it to him, and he's like putting it off for what do you think is
happening? Ravens definitely want to give it to him. I'm friends with a couple guys on that team, and you know, some of them reached out to try to get me to reach out to Lamar, and I'm like, you know, Lamar is a grown man. He has representation. He's going to figure it out. He has a plan. Sometimes you got to trust, you know, the plan that's being put in place. And I think Lamar certainly understands what needs to happen. If, you know, if he's putting himself in a situation where he's betting on himself, but that's even more dangerous. And I think that's what's going on. I think Lamar's betting on himself. I think he has a lot of money. He understands that. He knows if he take care of his money, just what he got right now, then he'll be truthful for forever. But it's a lot more on the table. And if he's saying, look, I trust myself, I want to work this out, I want to go try to win a Super Bowl, and maybe I enhance that or take it a step further than what I've taken it in the last couple years, you know, maybe a AFC championship game or something like that, then he's making progress. So, you know, I can't wait to see what happens and, you know, how it all plays out. But the one good thing is, Rich, you know, we got him coming back. You know, we get a chance to see Lamar Jackson in high-pressure situations, which he understands, or he would have, you know, taken the necessary steps to take the contract, bet on himself, and go out and get it done, man. That's the cool part about the game, man. You know, we love it so much. We make sacrifices, and this is one of them.
Well, can you help me out? I mean, I've met him a couple times, and he's been on this show, and he's so earnest, and he's so honest too. At one point, he came on. He thought everybody knew what plays he was calling before he was playing it. That kind of created a little bit of a kerfuffle when he came on a couple years ago. Yeah. And Steve Bisciotti, the owner of the Ravens, said, Michael Vick, he thinks that the kid is so obsessed with winning a Super Bowl that I think deep down he doesn't think he's worthy of the money right now. Do you think that's what's going on? Like, what do you think it is?
It may be some truth to that. And Lamar's, he's betting on himself. I mean, that's how much he loved the game, and, you know, that's how much pressure he's putting on himself. And you learn a lot about yourself playing a game of football. I always tell people that. And maybe it's something that he's trying to get it out. He's so obsessed with winning, and you can see that in Lamar. He takes the game personally. He loves it. And I talked to some of the coaches, a good friend of mine and one of my great coaches, James Urban. He's his quarterback's coach. And – you know, we had a lot of conversations about Lamar, and he just says he's different, man. He you know, the way he rallies guys and the way guys love him, and, you know, he wants to be that leader and that example. So, you know, I know he's leaving a lot on the table, and, you know, obviously the game is not going to get any easier. So he knows what he's up against. You just got to focus more, and you got to put more time into it, and, you know, if I was a young quarterback now, what I would be doing is sitting down with my coach and figuring out how we could exploit defenses and try to anticipate what they're going to do so we can be ready. You got to change things, modify the offense a little bit. I would take on a role of being super proactive in the offense and how, you know, things materialize and how we execute. And that's one thing I felt like I could have did better. You know, and I'm glad I had a coach like Andy Reid who was so detailed, who taught me how to, you know, protect myself, protect things, how to pick up blitzes and, you know, those things I wish I would have taken more serious earlier in my career. And now I see guys doing it and it's going to benefit them.
Michael, thanks for the time. I'll see you in Pasadena in a couple of weeks. Thanks again for doing that in advance.
Yes, truly. Sir. See you next week.
Appreciate it. You be well, Michael Vick. Thanks for the time. That's the one and only Michael Vick right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. And again, there's one aspect of the Lamar Jackson contract. You can't say it's not a holdout. It's not a hold in. It's not a standoff. It's a, there's no word for it. There's no word for it. It's a hold off, right? It's not a hold out. Mm-hmm. It's not a hold in. Yeah. It's a hold off.
Like a pause. Just like
that's what it is. I think we finally came up with it. It's a hold off.
Hold off. It's very bizarre. I don't get it.
We'll hit that when we come back right here on the Rich Eisen Show before Muggsy Bogues and Nick Saban join us in hour two. Gosh, I love doing this show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back here, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. The issue with Lamar Jackson not taking what the Ravens want from him is, I don't think, the issue the Ravens have with it isn't that they're afraid Lamar is going to leave. That's your thought. Like, do you not want to be here? He says he wants to be here. And if you know, his tweets about it have been, I guess media, I'm clearly paraphrasing here, hey, media, don't make anything out of this. There's nothing to see here. I love being a Raven. Let's go. And the Ravens, and we had John Harbaugh on last week on Friday. And, you know, his comments on the situation have been reported on and seen in other places. And he essentially said, when it's God's will and Lamar's will, it'll get done. The issue with it not being done again isn't that they're afraid he's going to leave, because technically they've got franchise tags on him not once, not twice, but even a third time if they need it. And the question, crazy thing about that is how much the price tag goes up. And that's the problem. Not because the Ravens don't want to give him the money, it's they can't plan properly. I think somebody, I don't know who that is, and I don't know if he needs it explained to him. But the longer he goes without signing a contract with Baltimore, the more he cap hamstrings the Ravens from being creative enough to move numbers around and surround Lamar Jackson with the people and the team he needs to win the Super Bowl. That's the issue here. Is there's no Kirk Cousins went year to year with Washington because Washington didn't believe in him, essentially.
Right.
They didn't want to give him that long-term deal or the numbers that he was putting on the table. They were said, go ahead and find it somewhere else. And he goes, oh, yes, hold my beer. And they found it. The issue is to plan appropriately to surround the man with the team that's necessary to win a championship. And the longer he goes without signing, the more it's just going to be straight up one-year deals. And that might benefit his dollars and cents bottom line. Just look again at Kirk Cousins, generationally wealthy, and so are his grandchildren who don't exist yet. But if you want to win a Super Bowl and you're saying I'm all about winning a Super Bowl and the owner believes, as Steve Bisciotti said, that the reason why Lamar's not asking for the money is he doesn't think he's deep down worthy of it until he wins one. And that's admirable. There's no question you could say that that is noble and admirable and humble. But in the long run, for the team to build a team that can help him win a Super Bowl, that's not the most helpful way to go about it. helpful way to go about it is say, let's talk about how we can all do this together, if that's really what he wants to do. Or that's usually what management's point of view is. Let's figure out how we could all do this together to get you what you want and allow us to be able to win with you getting what you want. It's not, usually isn't the quarterback who says that. And here you got a quarterback who's just saying, I'm just going to focus on my game and being the best teammate I can be and the best quarterback I can be. And Michael Vick just joined us and he's got to be the best healthy quarterback he can be, which means get down, man. Get out of bounds. Don't let the play go and extend so you're 15 yards behind the line of scrimmage trying to make some 19-point play happen and you get a high ankle sprain that knocks you out for the rest of the year. And all that stuff is exactly what Lamar can do to improve. No question about it. But getting on the dotted line helps everybody, is what I'm essentially saying in the NFL these days. And again, what do you call this? Because we've never seen it before. He's not holding out. And now, you know, what we saw from TJ Watt and others where you
hold in,
which is I'm showing up. I'll be there at training camp and mandatory events, but you know, this hurts, that hurts. Like, you know,
I don't know.
I'm holding in. These days, like it's like you're not holding out because you're showing up, but you're not doing everything when you're showing up. You're holding in. And this is what I think we finally have got here. It's a hold off. Hold off on that offer. I'm going to hold off on taking the bag.
Hold off on paying me.
Hold off.
Hundreds of millions.
It's a hold off. Because you don't know what to call it whenever you see a quarterback say, yeah, I know I can get this, but I'm not taking it yet. It's a holdoff. Never seen it before, but I'm just saying that the holdoff might hamstring the team and going off on a championship. Muggsy Bogues is coming up next. Meanwhile, you got Baker Mayfield saying he's been totally disrespected in Cleveland.
Oof. Yeah, I want to listen to this.
So, you know, we're going to get some more ducks in a row on that front.
Yeah, one of the quotes was, they told me one thing, then did another, is what he said.
I wonder what the one thing is. What's the one thing they told him, and then did another?
I mean,
is it Watson?
It just seems like we're not in the market for Deshaun, and then suddenly they have him for a lot of money.
So, but he broke up with them before...
That might have been.
Watson said, I'm not coming. And then the Haslams got together and said, how does $230 million guaranteed dollars sound? And all of a sudden, whatever issues he had about the AFC North and playing outside and going to Cleveland and whatever issues that caused him to tell the Browns, you're out. I'm either going home to Atlanta or I'm going to New Orleans and I'm going to go to the NFC South. I'm going to play my games indoors and I'm going to be in a division that Tom Brady's about to leave. I have that decision in front of me. All of a sudden, he's like, ah, Cleveland sounds great. That, you know, that would cause management to say, to do one thing and say one thing and do another. Certainly if, let's say you're a general manager and you're like, there's no way D and Jimmy Haslam are going to guarantee $230 million for this guy. Call, hey, Jimmy, here's the way it's working. You gotta guarantee every dollar in order to get him. What does that mean? Well, that means about 180 some odd million. You gotta scratch that check now, and that's gotta go into escrow because we're guaranteeing every dollar, and that's the way it works in the NFL. I'm not saying the general manager had to explain it to an owner, but it's possible. Hey Baker, guess what? Yeah, we're gonna go with Deshaun after all. That's a disrespect. And I'm sure he's kind of like, I don't, you know, one thing doing another.
Yeah.
Because in the same answer, he pointed out he had four different coaches over 4 years. Jerking me around. Man, oh, man, the difference between being lucky and good is so intertwined. Yep. And I know I just said difference gets intertwined, but it really is. It's not a difference. You got to be good and you got to be lucky. Hour two coming up.